This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in. Well, welcome to the middle of the week, Wednesday. We're going to make it together, my friends. Every day, I'm going to be with you Monday through Friday. We're trying something new. We're trying something extremely different. We're trying something that's very, very positive in trying to get people to listen to the show, listen to what we're doing, listen to how we do the ministry here at Midwatch with the Rev, Revelation Ministries. We're a big part of an organization in a way. Our ministry, Revelation Ministry, is really branching forward, trying to make its way through this ministry by saving people as many ways as we can. Our motto on our website is evangelizing in every way we can through media, broadcasting, radio, internet, and books, and preaching, counseling. That's our motto, evangelizing in any way we can through media, preaching, books. So media meaning streaming like this online. And we used to send these shows across the nation many times. We used to send these things out there, and we used to be able to get different types of ministries to actually hear this program. Well, God is blessed, and God is wanting to see things that we're doing out there. There's many things that we try and get done, and many things that we try and figure out as far as the work we do for God, and everything that we're trying to do, we try and get it going for the Lord. Now, one thing that I know for sure is that God has purposed all of us to do something for Him. I think today's show is yesterday's show was basically on faith. The day before the show, we talked on relationships. So Mondays and Fridays, we'll be talking on relationships. Tuesdays, try and talk on faith. But today, we're going to talk on leadership. Wednesday's kind of a day that we kind of just all get together and all put together a different type of thing. Mark 16:15. If you turn to your Bible, that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about leadership, talking about the power of God, and about what God is trying to do with you, and God is trying to do with everyone that you have in your life. God has purposely put people around you that you can reach for God. There's a natural nature to most of us that we want to be leaders in our hearts, in our minds. We decided long time ago that God had called us to preach, that God called us to minister the gospel. Now, a lot of us have gone maybe 5 years. I know for myself, when I was born, there was this woman of God, Mrs. Dorothy Davis. She talked to my mother, of course, told her that before I was born, that I was supposed to be called a preacher, that I was supposed to be a preacher, and I was supposed to be a minister for her, for the Lord. And from there, she said I was going to be a great evangelist and minister in all different ways in different places. I think I shared this before with those that are familiar with Midwatch, with the Rev. And for years, that followed me. For years, people would remind me that. But also for years, my heart, my mind was all wanted to be like that, wanted to get things going, wanted to make things happen for my life and for my ministry. So years going on and going on, believing God to help me, to help figure things out, to help put things together, because in my heart, I really wanted to. Let's read Mark 16:15 real quick. Mark 16:15 reads, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In our hearts, for those that have been called, for those that have been chosen, for those that walk with the Word of God in them, for them that are out there serving the Lord, we know that God is good and God has awesome things for us. But we also know that He's called us to a particular purpose. He's called us to make things happen for other people as well. Our heart yearns. Haven't heard that word for a while. Our heart yearns for people. Our heart wants to help people. Our heart desires to help people. Our heart really, really wants to see God's works done in everyone else's lives. Everybody can see that. Everybody can realize that. That God wants us to be used. Now, if you're like me, you go sit in a church, and if you're not actively part of a ministry or preaching at a ministry, this is when I was younger, you would sit there and you would wonder, oh, I can preach this. Oh, I can do this. I can make this happen. I'm a preacher. And you'd go from church to church and hear great sermons by great men. And every time you looked at them, you thought, you know what? I could preach that same sermon. I could preach that same thing. And then you would try and sit with these people and try and minister with them and try and sit down. But it was hard for you to sit down. It was hard for you to sit and relax and just take in and soak in the work of the Lord there. It was very hard. But when you actually would get there, man, you'd last probably 2 months. Maybe you'd last even close to 6 months, but I guarantee you would not last a year. And why is that? That's because deep down inside you, somewhere along the road, you want to take over. You want to be in charge. Not only that, that might be your problem. That might not be your case. But somewhere down the road, in your walk, serving with that man of God or that woman of God, wherever God has placed you, there has to be something that comes up. It's called submitting to authority. And if you're unruly, the Bible says, he that cannot rule his own soul, who has no rule over his soul, is like a man, is like a city without walls and without protection. It's found in Proverbs. Now get this. If you cannot rule your own spirit, you ain't got no protection, and you have no walls, no defenses. What does that mean? Well, if your heart and your mind is set to be the leader and not the servant, there's going to be problems. It takes years and years of serving the right man at the right place for God to do great things in your life and in your ministry. I tell you what, I was part of an organization very young in my age, in my early 20s. And I served for about 3 to 4 years, maybe five, off and on five. And this man was the top, one of the top largest missions and international ministers in the world. His crowds would bring millions in. Millions. And they didn't have to feed them to bring them in into different parts of the world. I'm talking in India, in Pakistan, Bangladesh, all these places. And he was an awesome man of God. And when I served with them, I served beyond and beyond and beyond. My heart, my soul, everything. But I think the difference between him and the difference between where I'm at today is where I left the ministry. God said, leave. I left. I believed it was God. But when I left that ministry, I left and I wasn't happy. I was discouraged. I was afraid to work and trust another man of God. I didn't want to walk with anyone else in the ministry. I wanted to be on my own. I was insecure in just the work and work of the Lord. Just the work of the Lord. I noticed all those things were in me. I was newly married, so a lot of that my wife put up with. And I tell you what, she's a strong, awesome woman of God because she put up with me and she still puts up with me. But at the same time, I didn't know I was messed up. I was messed up early. You got to watch who you put yourself under. Amen. You got to be able to put yourself under someone that you know is going to love you, that you're going to trust them, that they're going to trust, that they have the best interest in for you. Let me talk to you for a second here. That they have the best interest for you. That no matter what, they want to make sure you succeed just as much as they succeed. When you have that trust, that man of God that you're serving, that the man of God that you're walking with, that the man of God that is part of your ministry, and you're part of his ministry, and you want the best for them, it's not going to be a problem. Now get this, a lot of leaders out there today, and I'm not mean to hurt anyone, but I'm just talking truth here. A lot of leaders out there today don't have the complete desire to see the best in you. A lot of them want to build their own kingdoms. A lot of them want to be many gods. A lot of them want to be rich young rulers. Midwatch with the Rev has always told the truth and have always stood by the truth. Our heart has always been open to preach the word of God like it's supposed to be preached, my friend. So when I tell you this, and I mean this, that you got to watch who you align yourself with. Not every church is the right church for you. Join the church, be a part of something that the person that is with you, that you're serving the Lord with, serving the ministry with, that you know that when you submit to them, that you're submitting to someone just like God, just like Jesus, that has total love for you. If they can be the most prayerful person, they can raise the dead, they can heal the sick, they can bring millions to Jesus, like my mentor was. But if they don't have the compassion to see you grow just as much in your ministry and in your life and everything, and it's hard. When a leader's moving and he's moving along and a man of God is doing some great things, it's hard to let go of some good talent. Amen? It's hard to let go of some good talent. It's hard to let go of great talent. But I tell you, you will find the right people that do. I remember one church I went to when I was coming up in the ministry here. Wasn't too far from where I'm not going to tell you the church or place, but the man of God was awesome. Great preacher, great prayer person, but he had some insecurities as well. And when I came out of the ministry, when I came out of the Navy and I went straight full time and try and do ministry stuff, it was hard when you run into a pastor that loved you and cared about you, but then he was insecure in your success as well. He wanted to be the only name in the church, and you have to submit, and you submit to that. But until they beat that insecurity, then it's not going to help you. It's not going to grow. And that's what happened there. I recognized that. So I recognized that, and I confronted that. I confronted that in different ways, and I was told to leave the church. That's when I was a real young. That was before I met my mentor. And then my mentor in ministry, father in ministry in a way, more like a father in a way, he actually, he's more like a brother. I can't really count him as a father. He's like a brother. His son is like a nephew to me. He comes and visits with, plays with my kids all the time. But he was a piece of work as well. Because I left one insecure pastoral relationship, and a year later, met another ministry relationship that seemed like it promised you the world, and it did if you submitted, and I did. To a point when I found out that I would never ever. Now there's one thing that I told my brother, and I told this, that it's good to have things for your organization. It's good to call on your people at your church and at your functions and stuff, but when you tend to overuse, you begin to abuse. Now you understand what I'm saying. When you tend to overuse, you will abuse. Your leaders will resent you. Instead of, they will love you to a point to where it hurts, but then eventually they will grow up and get up, and they will leave you because they're hurt. So it's a very balanced thing. When you step in as a leader, as a pastor, as a mentor for someone, it's very, very, very high accountability, because you're gonna either encourage them or discourage them. Everything you do will cause an emotional effect to them. Everything you do will cause either security or insecurity. Now, I tell you this. If you overuse them, you're going to begin to abuse them. And if you abuse them, you bruise them. Got my rhyming game on today. If you abuse them, you'll bruise them. And those bruises are bruises. And they'll always remember. You. How many of you always remember a bruise? You that played sports out there. How many of you always remember that play that just, whew, knocked you out? It was unforgettable pain. I think I remember mine on the Asheville basketball court. And I think it was junior high. Shooting a jump shot or rebounder or something. I came down on my foot. Messed up my toe bad. I still remember that pain. I had to crawl to the van to go back. We didn't have buses. Our school was too small. So we had a van. I had to crawl the van. And coach still asked me, come on, David, get back in. I'm like, man, my toe's falling off. But I tell you what, you will remember the pain, the bruise that hurt you the most. If you ever broke a limb, which I've never had, thank God. If you ever were in a car wreck, if you ever hurt yourself, you will remember that pain. So my brothers, my sisters, those that are in leadership, I want you to take a note. This is Leadership Wednesday. And when you lead, don't make your congregation bleed, people. Don't make them hurt. Don't make them hurt. I'm telling you, God is good. Has great things for you. Let's turn to Psalms 37:7. Psalms 37:7. And we're talking about leadership today. We're talking about trying to find out why people are wanting to be led or wanting to be leaders or not leaders or are leaders and are having problems. I have a guest calling in today. That's why I was trying to work on the phone lines. Usually I would broadcast from a different set of instruments, but for the calls we have to use a different type of headset and stuff to get the calls in. And his name is Michael Salazar. He's pastor of Freedom International Church in Houston, Texas, downtown by the Heights. I don't know if you're familiar with the Houston area, but when I say the Heights, that's a historical district. But then outside the Heights, it's a very different type of demographics. Very a lot of gang activity. A lot of drug dealing. He pastors a church right in the middle of that. So, yeah, people from the Heights and people that are coming out of gangs and out of gangbang livelihood. And you're having people that are just caught in between. So he has a unique perspective on leaders. He's had to teach many different people on different grade levels. You got the successful leader that he talks to as far as successful businessmen. And you got the successful ministers that he has under him. And then you have all these other type of personalities and different people that need the leadership roles and will have the leadership core values, but they don't actually match with everyone else that's out there. So he will be on a show, Michael Salazar. Freedom International Church will be calling us in our third segment. This again, we're still in the first segment. We're going to cut in a few seconds to a second segment just in a minute. But Psalms 37, verse number 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. My friends, rest in the Lord. I think that's the most important thing. I had a friend when I was actually working with this ministry. And we're all over the world. We traveled everywhere. I traveled everywhere with them. All over the United States as well. And when I actually had guests coming into board meetings and stuff like that all the time. They had tons of board meetings. Oh my goodness. So I would go and pick all the people up and take them to the hotel or to the house that they're going to stay at, and then I would commute everybody and get vehicles for everyone that would drive to the actual events and stuff. And it was a task. And one day, this man of God, Dan Fernandez from California, he was with Fred Price Ministries at one time. He actually came in. And he sat down with me. I picked him up at the airport. It was a rainy day. You know, one of our good old Houston storm thrashing days. and it was rainy, kind of what we need right now in the city of Houston in the middle of July here. But he came in. We talked for a few minutes, just real quick at the airport, got him in the car, told him where his hotel was, told him the agenda for the day. And then when I was driving, he said, "Look, Dave, it's kind of late. Let's go get some lunch. I already missed the first meeting, so let's go get some lunch." So we went, and he goes, "Take me to some good Tex-Mex food." So I took him to one of my favorite restaurants. We sat down. He paid. It was cool. Because I tell you what, when I was working with this ministry, I was making only $400 a month. That's not much. And all the double cheeseburgers I can eat. Oh, what's that guy on olive oil? Popeye, what's that guy's name? That always said he'll pay you on Wednesdays. I forget his name. But anyway. He would sit there, we'd munch, and then he told me, "Dave, he just wanted to know what I did for the ministry." And he looked, "David, you're so energetic, so trying to do everything right, so wanting to be this and that for the Lord, and you're doing good, and because I'm going to give you some solid advice." And he took out like $30. He's like, "Drop me off, go rest, pray if you want, read your Bible, it don't matter. Go to a movie. I don't want to see you back till tomorrow, about this time. Pick me up from the hotel." So I took off. Of course, when the founder found out, he was a little upset. I was gone the whole day to the movies and hanging out with family and friends. I tell you what, when I worked with that ministry, I can't remember having a day off ever. And one day on a Friday or on a Monday, I would share the relationship stories that I have about how I met my wife. And how it was actually my first day off in quite some time, and I still had to go and do something for the ministry, and it was a blessing. It was a blessing, because it brought me my family that I have now. But anyway, rest in the Lord, my friends. Rest. Just to let you know, sometimes the best thing to do is to rest. You know, when I used to preach at some of these events and stuff, and in my early days when I would go out and preach with the ministry and stuff, I would always be real fretting, trying to get everything together and put as much as I can to go together to get ready to do a good show, a good sermon, whatever. To now it shows on the radio. And I still preach on Sunday nights here at the church, at Metro Church in Atascocita, Texas. But the main thing that I found out, and the main thing that I found out that worked for me, was that I would rest. I would go so hard and so long trying to get things ready and going and everything. I just rested. And now that I'm older, when I feel like, am I getting the sermon all the way? Or am I writing enough? It just rest. You sleep. You relax. You kick back. Just rest in the Lord. And that's what it is. Sometimes you just need to rest. God will do the rest. Amen? God will put all the sound system that I'm having problems with left and right. He'll put it together. You know what it is? It's just the enemy. Amen? And a bad equipment, but at the same time, it's going to come out together. Because I'm getting this voice out there. It's amazing what we're doing in the Lord on this radio show. It's amazing. We have an average of 500 listeners. So that means at any given time, 500 listeners are on the airwaves tuning in to our shows. Our highest volume time is right now at 2 o'clock, at 8 o'clock, at 11 o'clock at night, and 11 o'clock in the morning. I know that God has a great thing that's happening for you through this ministry, because you're going to be able to get your pastor or anyone else that wants to do ministry on the air. And we're going to do some great things. But did it happen overnight? No. Did it have to go through a lot? Yes. So why is it so hard to finally be released into your own ministry? Well, I told you about my first two or three pastors there and mentors that had a big insecurity level, and what that did was cause an insecurity level in me. Cause an insecurity level in my walk with trying to serve and trying to build. You would take the weaknesses and the strengths from whoever you follow. If you're not careful, you will take your weaknesses and your strengths from whoever you follow. Now, God is awesome. God is good. I have actually been working with several pastors now, and I have a pastor that I've submitted myself to, my ministry to, because even though my ministry could be doing this alone and we could be broadcasting anywhere and doing whatever we want to do and preaching and going out everywhere, and we're independent wise. I mean, I have a doctorate in ministry and doctor of divinity. I can do anything as far as preaching and going and everything, and yes, I can. But I feel, and in my heart, this is true, that you got to be tied to something. You have to have a home base, a home church. And through much debate, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with trying to size out what you're supposed to do. You know, I helped in my own heart. I just said, okay, we need to be part of a church. And there's a pastor, a smaller church, that I felt that we could use our gifts and our talents to help build them. It's a win-win. I just joined as a member, not as a minister or anything else. And then let God elevate it from there. But the moment I submitted and said, okay, I'm going to sit and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, is the moment that God called into that man's heart and said, I want to use him for this, use him for that, get him into this. And I've been running ever since. And it helped our ministry. Listen to this. It helped our ministry because the church actually gave us a space that we could actually use to do the radio station. We're opening up a kids center. We're going to have a center there for all the kids in the neighborhood to come and play video games and foosball and pinball, and we do a little message for them. We're going to have all these other activities outside for these kids. So you know what? God gave me a base, but not only a base, but a facility to use. Huge facility that we could use. And we're going to start doing television within the next month. So God is opening doors. But I've done more in my last 6 to 8 weeks through faith. I've known this ministry for about 14 years. I've known this church for about 14 years. But God is doing a lot. And why? Because submitting to authority was the key. Submitting to authority was the key. We all hear about it. We all want to have it. What is it? The role of leadership. The role of leadership. We know we are called. We know we are chosen. But why haven't we been appointed? And if appointed, why haven't we been successful? I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. I want you to hold that in your heart, hold that in your mind, and pray about it.
Hi, this is David Yannis, host of Midwatch with the Rev and General Station Manager for RevMediaNetwork.com. Just wanted to remind you to visit our main website, which is RevMinistries.com. I am the director of RevMinistries.com. We're doing several evangelistic things out there. One of them is reaching through media all the ways we can. We have books, CDs. We have an online station here. You're listening to it here on Rev Media Network. We're going to be broadcasting on television soon as well. We're making movies. We're doing everything we can to take the gospel out to the world. We also preach. We do seminars. We do healing conferences. We do relationship series. Relationship. God bless you. Please visit us at RevMinistries.com.
We're waiting for our phone call to come in a few minutes, and hopefully that call comes in. If not, I will carry this show to the end of where we got to go. Amen. Well, I know that a lot of y'all out there are wondering, what is this crazy man talking about? What is this crazy man talking about? I'm talking about trying to get your life to where it needs to go. I'm talking about the very thing that we all need to hear. I'm talking about following God and doing the right things for God. in leadership. Just an interesting article that I was reading. You think that, you know, everybody's heard the gospel and everything, and that, you know, hearing God is one thing. And it's interesting to know that as much as the gospel's been preached, that a lot of people haven't really fully indulged in it. I was reading this article. I'm sure you've read it too, but it's about the world's largest telescope that's going to be built in Hawaii. I love Hawaii. Every time I think of Hawaii, I think of teriyaki chicken, macaroni salad, and some sticky rice. Yes, it's one of the best places, the cheapest meal you can eat out there. Very expensive to eat. But if you eat with the locals like I do, I'm not Rachel Ray. No. I just served in the Navy and I met some locals out there and they fed me pretty good for a couple of months. I lived out there for about 3, maybe 4 months. But out there in Hawaii, they're building this telescope. And you know what? It's huge. They built it on the tallest mountain. And the reason they built it on the world's tallest mountain is 13,796 feet in the air. And it's above the clouds. And it's above the clouds 300 days a year. Now, what I found interesting was, hey, they're building this telescope, and they're going to go look through the entire stars. They said that they can see into 13 billion light years away and get a glimpse into the early years of the universe. And it's amazing. Scientists are still trying to find out things about God's awesome, awesome universe that he's built. Yet, you look at the end of this story, and it talks about a chief in that area, and it's about the Hawaiian religious group that has a lot of ties to the mountain and to their gods. Hey, we got the caller coming in, so we're gonna go and jump to that. Hello, you're on the air.
David Yanez, how you doing? It's Mike Salazar.
Hey, Mike, you're coming in good. I'm looking at the screen. Are you ready to talk to the listeners?
I'm ready. I'm ready, David.
Okay, amen. Well, thank you for being prompt and on time with the call. I've been talking about leadership, but just to catch you up, this is Michael Salazar, pastor of Freedom International Church in Houston, Texas, just outside the Heights or just in the Heights area. He's doing a great work. And he has. I was telling him that you are a great leadership mentor, and that you have everything from leadership to businessmen that are professional to successful ministers and ministries. And it, because of the area you're in, you have the balance, because you have people that are from wealthy parts of the area and to the poorest parts of the area and the needy parts of the area. And you have to be able to balance as a leader who you promote in the ministry, who God puts on your heart and stuff. And I just thought that was unique, because some people are just in one neighborhood, in one area, and they have just one group of class of people that they operate with. But you have to juggle a lot, don't you, Pastor?
Oh, yes, definitely. We are always on the move and always on the go and always doing a number of different things. And we've always felt like our specialty was leadership development. It's always been our heart and passion to be able to train and develop emerging leaders and new leaders in our city, as well as ministry-wise. It's always been our passion. We feel a real calling from the Lord to do this. So we're excited to be on the show with you guys today.
Amen. Pastor, I had a couple of questions. I just wrote some down to kind of help you on what we're trying to get out to the listeners. But how important is it? Now, how important is submitting to authority and leadership?
Well, I think, David, one of the most important things today in leadership is being able to submit to leadership and any type of authority that is in your life, because as I've always said, is that you've got to learn to be a follower before you're ever a leader. And I think that your character always speaks of how you follow those you're serving. And I've come across people in the line of ministry. I've been in the ministry almost 20 years now, and I've seen people say, "Yes, Pastor, I'm behind you." And you know, they spoke it with their mouth, but their heart said something different. And I think that today, that it's leadership and submission, it's an issue of the heart. And I always say, you know, if you can't, if you don't feel that you can submit to someone, then you definitely need to find somebody that can't submit to. Because, as I always say, as a good pastor, you know, you always need a place you can call home. And in that home is a church, and in that place is a pastor, that's someone that God has instituted in your life. Romans 12 and Romans 13 speaks of there that all authority has been established by God, whether evil or righteous. And I think that, you know, as we look at that and understand what the scripture speaks there, that, you know, no matter whatever our, you know, the authority that we're under has been set there by God for us to follow. And so I think it's critical because it speaks about our future, how we follow people. You know, I believe that God can never give us greater things or a greater ministry until we learn to submit and follow those that are over us. You know, there's a story, David, I like to use quite a bit when it comes to speaking about submission to leadership, and the story of Esther. You know, Esther had an uncle by the name of Mordecai, and I tell you what, I believe today Esther became the queen to King Xerxes for one reason, was that because she was able to follow her uncle's instructions. And, you know, the Bible speaks about that in the book of Esther, that she did exactly her uncle Mordecai asked her to do. And as she did that, that's how God set her up to be in the right place at the right time with the right people. So I think that if she had been a rebellious teenage girl that said, oh, I don't need to listen to my uncle, or I don't need to listen to my pastor or listen to that leader, you know, I'm doing it my way, you know, I think she would have missed her moment with favor with the king. And so I think a lot of that is being tied into being able to submit to the leadership that's in our lives. It is critical that we, you know, there's a word God's been really putting in my heart this over the last, I guess, last month, I guess you could say, is that, you know, it's important that we find alignment in our lives, that we find that person that we can align, we can listen to, we can follow. And I don't think this is a matter of abuse or slavery or control. It's just that everybody today, if you're a part of a church, you know, you do belong under some form of leadership, some form of covering, some form of headship. And as I, you know, like I mentioned earlier in the show, is that if you don't feel you can submit or follow wholeheartedly, then you need to find someone that you can, you know, because I think that's going to, you know, help you go a long way fast in your destiny and in the purpose God has raised you up for in this time. So, David, what was the other questions you had, Dave?
Okay, I just wanted to find out also what your take was on what do you think that's holding a lot of people back from submitting? I mean, what do you think that's out there that's in them that they can work on to try and submit?
Well, you know, I think that as I think about that question, it's a real good question, David, you'd ask, because it's something that, you know, I often say is more of a generational problem today. We live in a very, what I would consider, a very fatherless generation. And today, the young people that are being raised, and I think that the number one challenge that pastors and leaders are going to face in this time and even in the near future of the church is being able to find people they can follow, because we see a generation being raised without fathers.
Yes.
And I think biblically, when you see a father in a household, he brings order in the household. He brings leadership. He brings authority. But I see a generation of young people, of teenagers, of young adults that are being raised today without any type of authority or leadership in their lives. So therefore, when it comes to the church, they want to get involved. And, you know, but when it comes to actually following the leader, you know, practicing what I would call followership, you know, I think that they have a problem with that, because they were never raised with ever having to submit to someone. You know, they were never raised with someone having to tell them, hey, you do it this way. You know, because they've always been an island unto themselves. They've always been kind of out there on their own.
Yeah, you're talking about like a lifetime of just not listening to authority.
Right, right. They kind of just been out there on their own. So it's very, you know, it triggers something in them, to the point that we're like, I don't have to listen to this person, so I'm going to another church. But in reality, when they get to that church, you know, they're right back in the same setting again. So really, again, like I said, the issue is not the church, it's the heart of the
That's
man
true.
Or the woman.
That's
you
true.
Know, You know, when you look at that, David, it just really, you know, I think that's one of the epidemics. And then, you know, you have, I think, what I would consider the second reason why people have a hard time submitting is because maybe they've had a bad experience in a church or on their job. And, you know, I like to use this analogy often, is that, you know, not every apple is a bad apple. You know, and I think that, you know, when you, you know, you got to give the pastor or the leader that you're serving under right now, I think you got to give them a chance, because they may not be like the last experience you had. You know, don't take, you know, your last offense into this new setting. And I think that it's critical to understand that God does give people a new start. He is a God of second chances, and he wants to give his people a new day. But if you carry the offense, the anger, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, you know, I think sometimes we got to release what happened in our past, whether it was a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and we've got to be able to move on into a new day.
Amen, and, Pastor. Now, as a leader, as a person that grooms leaders, because that's what I always see you as. You're always grooming leaders, and that's a great thing. Now, when you groom leaders, what do you exactly, just for the audience to understand, what is a pastor, or what are you personally trying to look for when you're trying to find what the qualities of a leader?
Right. I think there's a few things that you know, that I look for in a leader, and I think one of those things is that, number one, are they two things, I guess, in that number one category, is are they teachable and are they available?
Amen.
And I think that, you know, today, for that relationship to work between the pastor and the pastor's leaders, is that, number one, you know, you've got to make yourself available. You know, I think today, I always say, you know, today people go into churches and they base their, you know, their presence there in that church by their ability, when we should be basing it upon our availability, you know, not on our gifting and our talents. Many, many people today are talented in the church, but, you know, their abilities are off the charts, but their availability has a lot to do. Can they serve the pastor? Are they available to the leaders there? I think that, number two, you know, as I said, are they teachable? You know, have you ever heard the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks? I beg to differ with that. I think that people can learn, but they got to want to learn. You know, I think that, you know, most of the time pastors, you know, they struggle with getting, you know, their congregation out of Egypt, you know, out of the desert and then into the promised land. You know, Moses was always pointing them in the direction. But I think that, you know, he showed them the direction, but Israel had a choice to make. And I think that in that, you know, we can take, you know, as my dad always said, you can take the horse to the water, but you can't make the horse drink the water, you know. To be teachable is a decision of the heart again, you know. Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm teachable. Yes, I can learn some new things, and I can change. You know, I think that today we've got to look at those two core elements, you know, to being able to grow as a leader and be available as a leader. So,
amen. Now, back to what you're saying a little bit earlier. Now, I've heard this term, and I just want to throw it at you. Do you see a lot of people nowadays that are talented, that are gifted, that go into churches? Are they just, some of them that have some authority problems? Do you see them just looking for a position rather than actually wanting to serve?
Well, you know, I see that often. You know, I see leaders that are gifted. But I think that one of the things that today in the church, you know, I tell our congregation and the leaders I mentor, you know, especially when you have emerging leaders rising in the church, you know, today I think there's a number of things when you look at that, you know, that we are able to, you know, raise up new faces, new people. And, you know, I think it's not so much about the gifting and our comfort as much as it is about our character and our integrity. So I think that has a lot to do with people that are talented. You know, I tell people, hey, I don't care about you having a title as much as I care about you being able to function without a title. I think that's always a true test, because
yeah,
when you see people that come in to your church, you know, sometimes they wait for you to give them the title before they actually function. I'm looking for today for an emerging generation to come in and function in the capacity that God has destined them to walk in before they ever look for the title.
Amen.
Because if they function, then they'll have the title, you know. So
Amen. Pastor, do you see a big need right now for leaders in the church?
Oh, tremendously. You know, David, I think that today my heart just, it just kind of hurt when you said that, you know, and I really believe today that, you know, my prayer today is that, you know, we have leaders that have staying power is what I would simply say that as, is that leaders today, you see them, they come and they go. You know, I think it was Billy Graham that said that most of his staff and leaders that were on staff with him have been on staff with him for almost 40 years now.
Wow.
And I think that today, when you see people that have that mentality, that they know they're called to that church, they know that their children and their grandchildren will be raised in that church. You know, I have a testimony I like to use this often, especially when teaching with leaders. You know, I think there's always a check mark in my spirit. There's a check mark. There's a flag that goes up when I ask a person, you know, how many churches have you been to? And they say, oh, I've been to like 5 or 10 churches. There's always a flag that goes up in my spirit with that. Because I believe that, you know, just like my mom and dad, you know, I only have one home that and one place that I could go home and say, that's my home, that's my mom and dad. I don't have like 10 homes. I don't have 10 dads and 10 mothers. I think that the testimony that I have is the church that we were raised in, and then the second church was the church that we planted, which was about 6 years ago. And I think that in that, you know, I thank God I don't have a testimony that I have, like, I've been to 20 different churches, you know, and I've been under 20 different pastors.
Like,
you know?
Who's your daddy?
Right, exactly. You know, you got it, David. I tell you, you know, and I think that brings a lot of confusion today, because leaders don't have an identity because they never really get under a father. And that's the thing. A pastor is a father in the Lord. And I think as a father, they bring identity to a generation. And I think that's why today you see a lot of leaders that are confused, and it's almost an epidemic of leaders. You know, my prayer is today is that if anybody's listening to this broadcast today, you know, I know God is speaking to them. I know He is. I know that God is calling people to persevere and endure where they're at. You know, because God, you know, I think as we learn, as with the tree, you know, the longer it is there in place, the deeper the roots will go. And I think that's what makes great, because any great church will have a great pastor with great leaders around them. That's what Amen. Makes a great church. So I think that's real critical.
Amen. Pastor Mike, now, yes. Don't you agree that you need to find a leader that's going to want to see you succeed as much as he's going to succeed?
I believe that. There's a model of that. You know, I always like to say, success without a successor is a failure.
Amen.
And I think that today that the models we can see from a biblical standpoint are a number of models. You see the model of Jesus and the 12 disciples. You know, he kept telling them the whole time was, there's going to come a point, I'm not going to be here, but greater works you shall do. And, you know, even then the things you've seen me do, he said, you'll do greater than you've seen me do. And I think that speaks loudly of, you know, every leader. You know, you'll know a true pastor, a true leader, is that he is secure in his calling. He invites new leadership to even do greater things than even himself.
Amen.
And I think that, you know, another example of that is the story of Elijah and Elisha. And, you know, and it goes back to, you know, I mean, we could sit here and talk for hours about the story of Elijah and Elisha. I like to use this model often when it comes to leadership development, is that you see Elisha was following Elijah through a number of cities, and we see that in the latter part of Elijah's life, we see that that Elijah asked Elisha questions. Well, what do you want? He said, well, I want a double portion of what's on you. And the thing you got to listen very closely to is in the scripture. He says, well, look, he said, if you can stay eye to eye with me when I get caught up, he said, in this chariot of fire, he said, then the mantle will be yours of a double portion. And we see there that, of course, that this whirlwind took Elijah in the air, and it says that Elisha never took his eyes off of him. And that speaks of that very clearly, that Elijah and Elisha were as one. And it speaks of there that he saw things the way his leader saw things. And there was what I would consider that agreement, that harmonization, that unity, that ability to work together and be mentored. And it always leads to a double portion blessing. And I think that's the beauty of leadership, is that as you the longer you walk with the leader, the greater the things that God is going to do in your life. So I think that's an amazing part.
Amen. Pastor Mike, I appreciate you so much. Why don't you give us a little quick information about your church and what time your services are and when they can hear you preach here in Houston?
Sure thing. You can. We have services. The name of our church is called Freedom International Church. We have services on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and on Thursday evenings at 6:45. Our Thursday evenings are my leadership training time as well as a prayer gathering with children's classes. And you can find Freedom International Church at 1314 West Patton. You can find out more information from me even by following me on Twitter under Mike Salazar. And you can find out more information about our church from there.
Amen. Amen, brother. Well, I appreciate you calling in. We've been having sound problems and stuff all week, and I think this is actually our best call that we've had.
Awesome.
It's not only just because of the sound, but because of the material you brought, brother. Thank you so much. We'd like to invite you back whenever you have time to come by the studio and do a show.
Anytime. Anytime, David. Anytime. I'm looking forward to reaching your listeners, and I know that today was a divine appointment, and I know that, as I always tell people, hey, if I cross you at some point in your life, God is speaking to you.
I believe it, and I know leadership is something that needs to be talked, and if you're willing, on Wednesdays we're going to be teaching it. We would love for you to have a plan and come by the studio and teach it as well. That way you can just take the whole time if you need it to put some information out there, because I think that's a subject that is not touched like you're touching it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, let's definitely we'll get together and we'll set that all up. Okay, David.
All right. God bless you, Pastor. Thank you again for stopping in.
Okay. Take care, brother.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was Pastor Mike Salazar, Freedom International Church. Look at that. We're getting people to call in. People are calling in. People want to get their voice out there and tell you the power of God that's happening. You got to go visit his church. Awesome church. Awesome church. That actually is a church that my brother is a member of, and he serves on staff there as well. And so it's a good church, good man of God, good man of God. Now, we've been talking about leadership. The reason we've been talking about leadership is to challenge you, my friends, to challenge you to do what's right. Revelation Ministries, RevMinistries.com is where you can find us, MidwatchWithTheRev.com. To hear more shows and more sermons, continue to listen to Rev Media Network. I want to thank our guest, Michael Salazar, for coming on. I want to thank my engineer, David Yannis, my son. He's been helping me with the sound and stuff. He's very patient. He's patient like his mother. Very good. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Remember, you can always listen to our shows anytime on Rev Media Network. We have archives, but our shows are constantly playing. I rebroadcast this show again tonight at 11 and tomorrow at 11 in the morning. So if you missed the show on the 2 o'clock hour, we will rebroadcast this show at 11 o'clock and at 11 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock p.m. so you can hear the show in its entirety. Or if the signal goes off, trust me, with the sound system how it is, we need to do that. We need to keep recording it, so we can play the entirety in case you miss something. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening to Midwatch with the Rev. We're going to pray and see if one of these commercials play. If not, I'll have you something on really soon. So God bless you. Thank you again for listening to us. Remember, you can email me at midwatchwiththerev.com or at david@revministries.com or the Rev at davidyannisministries.com. Just email me. Go on top of the Rev Media Network or Rev Media, and you'll find it. God bless you. Thank you again for tuning in, and thank you again for being a part of our broadcast.